Backseat Box Office, episode number 75 for the weekend of February 24th through the 26th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers, and Andrew is AWOL again.
Yeah.
Work.
He claims he got called into work, but...
Yeah, if work is EDF, then...
An Axis and Allies.
An Axis and Allies. Though he hasn't taken a turn yet, I don't think, so...
No, he hasn't taken his turn yet, but then again, I did just submit mine,
so. We'll see. We'll see if he submits a turn by the end of our recording. We'll know. Yeah. He's working real hard. So, episode 75.
Cool.
Inching toward 100.
Yeah, that's kind of terrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be hitting episode 100 of this show and episode 250 of Backseat Producers within about a month of each other, I think it'll probably work out. And that will be right around Archon. So we'll be talking a lot about Sausage Fest then.
Kind of like episode 50 and 200.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny how those things work.
Exactly like that. So, let's just shoot the elephant in the room and talk about how terrible everything was this week.
Well, I mean, really, it's Nick Cage's fault, so.
Yeah, Nick, like I said in the show notes, Nick Cage, why have you forsaken us? Because, man, should I read from Andrew's email the other night? I guess it was Friday night. He'd actually gone to see Ghost Rider and emailed us. And let me see if I can find the email real quick. Yeah, here it is. I just saw Ghost Rider last night, and this was the 18th, so I guess that was Saturday. I just saw Ghost Rider last night. I feel comfortable saying, we are, and then in all caps, Yeah. So Andrew called the shot Saturday morning.
Yep.
None of the hosts have ever... have ever pulled the, hey, it's not noon on Saturday yet, I want to change my picks card. After reading that, I was really tempted.
That's not cool, man.
No, I didn't. And I wouldn't, but that email in and of itself tempted me a lot.
You're on the mountain looking down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I was. So, we all, well, with one exception, everyone picked Ghost Rider at number one. Unfortunately, for the one person who did not pick Ghost Rider at number one, they ended up picking This Means War at number one. Ooh. Yeah, so, you know... It sounds good that that one person had it right and didn't pick Ghost Rider. But, sorry, William. Yeah, he picked This Means War at number one. It wasn't pretty.
It was bold.
It was bold.
It was bold.
And, you know, if we handicapped this week and said, okay, let's take a look at the top score and adjust for the fact that everybody did so poorly... And say that that person's score adjusted up to give them 25 points. So we'd add 6 points to everybody's score. Because the best score was Scott, and he got a 19. Mm-hmm. He was the only one that got 19. There were a lot of people who got 17. So adjusted, that would be like a 23. And you were one of those, so you would have gotten a 23. That's not a bad score.
Nah, I'd be happy with that.
I would have gotten a 21. Still a respectable score. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, William was still got a 16. Sorry. I'm doing this and poking fun at William because William does record the result show, if you guys aren't aware of that. And he's doing a great job. And he has a lot of fun poking fun of the hosts, including himself. He does probably poke more fun at himself than anyone. It's kind of deserved. Kinda.
Well, and let's face it, you know, the instant you get behind the mic for any backseat production, that is the instant that you, you know, spread wide for the ball busting. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're basically a member, like the lowest man on the totem pole on Jackass. Just stand with your legs spread, close your eyes, because if you leave your eyes open, you see it coming and you'll clench. Just close your eyes.
It's always better to roll with it.
Plug your ears and just be ready to vomit. Because you might, getting kicked that hard in the nads. It could happen. Unfortunately, everyone got kicked in the nads this weekend. So I guess we should talk about what actually happened at the box office.
Probably.
So last week, The Vow was at number one, Safe House was at number two, and Journey 2 was at number three. Most of us suspected that Ghost Rider would end up at number one. And I know at the time of the recording, everyone involved in the recording and in the chat room had supposed that Journey to the Mysterious Island would be number five. Mm-hmm. Safe House came in at number one with $23.6 million. It only lost 41%. It's pretty good.
Only. That's fairly standard.
That's what
makes it sad is that's a fairly standard drop for a second week movie.
Yeah.
30-45%. And Ghost Rider couldn't beat
it. Ghost Rider couldn't beat it. Yeah, The Vow came in at second. Only 600,000 behind Safe House with 23 million. It lost 44%. Ghost Rider only made 22.1. Not a bad showing, but the thing is, it only cost $57 million to make, so it's going to easily make its money back. But I know that was considered a disappointing showing. I think everyone expected it to make a lot more.
Well, I mean, the first one opened at 45, so
yeah, I certainly expected it to make a lot more. It brought in $22.1 million, could not crack the top two. Journey 2 came in fourth, where we all expected fifth. It got $17.8 million. It only lost 27%.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. clearly, all the audience that we probably thought went to Ghost Rider ended up going to see Journey 2.
Yeah.
And then This Means War, the other new flick. I guess a lot of us thought that it was going to do well coming on the back half of Valentine's Day. And it only brought in $17.4 million for fifth place. A number of people picked The Secret World of Arrietty, and that came in ninth place with $6.4 million, mm-hmm. which I kind of figured that was coming. Yeah.
Another I figured bold five pick, but.
Yeah, I figured $5-6 million was probably what that one could have brought in. I didn't expect it to get upwards of $10 million. By any stretch. And I thought all those top five could have easily made that. And of course they did.
Certainly nowhere in the $15 million.
No. But we had a number of people pick it in the top five.
It's a beautiful dream, you know? I mean...
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was like...
In an ideal world, the...
Hey,
the
I picked Star Wars at number one. So...
No. Who see, am that's I? Not a beautiful dream.
Who
that's,
am I to judge?
That's a sickness.
No. No, I picked that over The Vow. I stand by my choice. All right, so should we talk about how we picked?
Sure.
Since we've already hinted at what the scores were.
Yeah, I guess that means I need to go then here.
Well, we can talk about Andrew real quick.
We could talk about Andrew.
Since he's not here, let's.
He and I tied.
Yeah. You tied, but you had different picks.
Had different picks. How disappointing is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So he had Ghost Rider at number one. Of course, it was not. He lost 4 points there. He had The Vow at number two, and that was actually right. Safe House at number three. It was actually in first place, so he lost 2 more points. This Means War in fourth. It was in fifth. And then Journey 2 in fifth. It was in fourth. So Andrew ended the week with a 17.
Yep. I also ended the week with a 17. I had Ghost Rider at number one. That was wrong. I did expect Safe House to overtake The Vow.
You did.
I managed to call that, but I dropped both of those a place. So at 2 and 3. And then I also put This Means War and Journey 2 at 4 and 5. And so that gave me... Come to think of it, I didn't get a single movie in the right place this week. So, you know, I'm fairly happy with a 17, actually.
I actually did get a movie in the right place. The Vow. That's the only one I got in the right place. Ghost Rider, I lost 2 points on. This Means War, I had in third.
That's ambitious.
It was in fifth. Safe House, I had in fourth. Hey, that was the number one movie this week. And then Journey 2, I had in fifth. It was in fourth place. So I rocked a 15. I rocked it hard.
Well done.
So Yep. That means that when we get around to picking, you and Andrew get to pick before me.
Yeah. I wish Andrew were here.
Good luck with that.
Relativity Media movie this week. bastard. He would skip out on a week when we have Relativity Media.
I think that was his plan all along.
Could be. Still haven't seen a turn update in Axis and Allies yet, so he's playing it coy at the very least.
He's probably secretly listening in the chat room. He knows. He's just giggling. He's listening in the chat room waiting for us to make our picks. So that he can say, oh, I had no knowledge of what you guys did. Mm-hmm. None.
Typical.
Yeah. Oh, Andrew. All right, so let's talk about what's coming out. We got four new wide release movies. I think there's actually maybe a few more than that, but those are the four wide release pictures coming out.
There are a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Seven more.
Wow. I just noticed that.
Yeah. But none of those count, so only the four matter.
Neon Flesh. So you want to kick us off? You want to take one of your two picks there for the week?
Yeah, sure. We'll start with one of the big ones. Potential big ones, I guess. Tyler Perry. Why does Tyler Perry movies always come out in pairs?
I don't know.
Like, he releases he'll do the high budget one, and then the, like, play. It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of Tyler Perry's movies coming out this week is Good Deeds. According to Rotten Tomatoes, this says a successful, wealthy businessman, because it would really suck to be successful and poor at business.
Yeah.
Wesley Deeds has always done what's expected of him, whether it's assuming the helm of his father's company, tolerating his brother's misbehavior at the office, or planning to marry his beautiful but restless fiancée, Natalie. But Wesley is jolted out of his predictable routine when he meets Lindsay, a down-on-her-luck single mother who works on the cleaning crew in his office building. Uh-oh. This is like Made in New York for black people.
Yeah.
when he offers to help her get back on her feet, the chance encounter with someone so far outside his usual circle ignites something in Wesley. This one good deed may finally spark his courage to exchange the life that's expected of him for the life of poverty he's always wanted. I'm sorry, the poverty part there isn't actually part of the description.
Yeah, so...
It's a Tyler Perry movie.
Yep. 80% of the audience want to see it. That's, you know, it's... I think it's probably going to have a very predictable audience. I think people go into these movies knowing what you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, and if you look back at...
He obviously has a fan base that, even from the commercials, and it could be just the way he does the commercials, all of his movies seem to have a very signature style and feel to him. And that's just getting it off of the commercials.
Yeah.
So I have to imagine the movies are probably about the same way.
Well, and he seems to be pretty good, like pretty reliable for the $20 to $25 million range on his opening weekends too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Madea's Big Happy Family, 25. The Help, 26. Why Did I Get Married, 29. I Could Do Bad, 23. There are some variances in there, but for the most part. So
he also tends to buck the trend if you look at how the movies perform on HSX.
Mm-hmm.
You can't generally use the dollar amount at quite the same scale because his audiences seem to front load the movies. And what I mean by that is that they tend to hit the opening weekend really hard mm-hmm. and drop off quick.
Mm-hmm.
So his percentage, like if you try to play the percentage game of what the dollar amount of what it's trading at HSX versus what it's going to take in its opening weekend, he has a lot higher percentage, I believe, than other.
I usually do about a third.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think so for like him,
Madea's his opening weekend was nearly half.
Yeah, you're a lot closer to about 50% with him.
Yeah,
and I think that's fair. And if you're looking at HSX to try and do any of your estimations, I could tell you a whole lot right there, a whole lot about how I'm going to pick,
and also that he should be right about that range again.
Yeah. He should hit really comfortably into that $25 million yeah. zone. All right. So next up, the Amanda Seyfried vehicle Gone. In the new suspense thriller Gone, Jill Parrish comes home from a night shift to discover her sister Molly has been abducted. Jill, who had escaped from a kidnapper a year before, is convinced that the same serial killer has come back for her sister. Afraid that Molly will be dead by sundown, Jill embarks on a heart-pounding chase to find the killer, expose his secrets, and save her sister. Wow. Okay. If she could find this guy that easily, why didn't she do it before?
Yeah. Why haven't the cops pulled it off?
Yeah. I gotta admit, this movie worries me.
Well,
it's a PG-13 thriller that's only an hour and 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
Those things speak very oddly to me.
Yeah, well, and Box Office Mojo's weekend forecast, since we're recording these on Thursdays now, we can look at that.
Yeah.
The last sentence of the forecast says, Summit is predicting an opening in the mid to high single digits.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know it's not good when your own movie production company or movie distribution company is like, yeah, we're not expecting much.
Yeah, my estimation is that I don't have a cracking six. Yeah, so there we go.
That's a movie.
Next.
This one also has an entertaining quote on Box Office Mojo, but we'll talk about the movie first. This is Wanderlust. It's a Judd Apatow movie mm-hmm. with Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. This says, George and Linda are overextended, stressed out Manhattan couple. After George is downsized out of his job, they find themselves with only one option, to move in with George's awful brother in Atlanta. Oh, really?
Wow. That seems like a
stretch. We're doing another one of those. We're in the big city, but we're laid off, so we're going to go live with the podunks. I don't even want to finish reading this. I'm going to go to this thing here. What I like here is this is the Box Office Mojo forecast again. It says, exactly 1 month before it was set to open last October, Wanderlust was bumped back to its current February 24th release date. That late move, combined with the fewest theaters for a Judd Apatow production in over a decade, seems to indicate that distributor Universal Pictures has had a tough time coming up with the right strategy for the movie, mostly because this is a plot ripped from the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is I've seen the commercials for it,
mm-hmm.
and I, of all the movies coming out this weekend, this is the one I would go see. And you know what? The kids are going to my folks on Saturday night. I can see Julie and I going to see this movie. Yeah, it doesn't look great, but it looks like I already know what I will expect, and I will be amused by it, and I'm okay with that. I don't need to be blown away, but it looks like it's going to provide some laughs, and I'm cool with that. It looks like it's just comfortable with what it is, and it looks like an 80s sex romp kind of movie, probably minus the 80s nudity.
I don't know. Maybe. Says right here, clothes, who needs them?
Yeah. Yeah, but creative camera angles can take care of all of that.
Yeah, but it's R-rated.
True.
Probably going to be, you know...
Dongs.
Sausage fest. Yeah.
And not the fun getting drunk kind.
Yeah, you're going to have sausages, not tacos, but...
That is true.
There'll be skin.
Yeah.
So, you ever miss the days when it was, you know, random boob shots were mandatory?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like one of the coolest things about Airplane was, and at one point, I knew the exact timestamp for it, was that it was a PG movie and there were boobs. Bare breasts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think of Police Academy.
Yeah.
Because my wife likes to put in the old 80s movies when she's gone to bed and I'm still up. And she turns the sound off and we'll just, you know, read the subtitles and it puts her to sleep. She'll put in Police Academy, and sometimes I'll come in and, you know, there'll be that scene where what's his name is standing outside the women's shower. It's very clearly just you have to have a gratuitous nudity scene. Put this in.
Yeah. And
like, do they talk about that in the commentary that, you know, why they put this in here? And they're like, yeah, just cause it was the 80s.
And I don't understand what Adam's problem is with watching 80s movies. Seriously.
He's an idiot.
This is true. And finally, the reason Andrew was dragged away from our podcast this evening, the one Relativity movie coming out this weekend, Act of Valor. In an unprecedented propaganda, I mean blend of real-life heroism and original filmmaking, Act of Valor stars a group of active duty U.S. Navy SEALs in a film like no other in Hollywood's history.
No other.
Except for all those newsreels where they used to show real soldiers.
Yeah.
A fictionalized account of real-life Navy SEAL operations, Act of Valor features... You know what? I'm doing this wrong. Act of Valor features a gripping story that takes audiences on an adrenaline-fueled edge-of-their-seat journey. When a mission to recover a kidnapped CIA operative unexpectedly results in the discovery of an imminent, terrifying global threat, an elite team of highly trained Navy SEALs must immediately embark on a heart-stopping secret operation, the outcome of which will determine the fate of all of us. That was all one sentence. Act of Valor combines stunning combat sequences, up-to-the-minute battlefield technology, and heart-pumping emotion for the ultimate action-adventure film showcasing the skills, training, and tenacity of the greatest action heroes of them all, real Navy SEALs. Yeah. So, yeah. One of the highlights of our pre-show jackassing around was reading some of the quotes from Rotten Tomatoes that are already out about this movie. There were two of them in particular that I found most amusing. One was actually a negative quote. It was the green splatter. And it was just barely a movie. Act of Valor is more like a high quality recruitment video with interstitial acting. And the one that really says a lot is actually considered one of the positive reviews. And it is, if all you care about is bang bang, then Act of Valor should satisfy you. But if all you care about is bang bang, then you're invalidating the very reason the actual SEALs appear in this film. And that says it all.
I
have nothing more to say about this movie.
Yeah. Though, the only thing about it is that it's just everywhere.
Yeah. And it I know for a fact, I would bet my nephew, my 15-year-old nephew, probably already has tickets to see it. This is just, it's right up his alley, and...
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise
me. Yeah, I mean, he's...
That looks to be about the age group they're aiming for.
And you know what? It's a recruitment video. Seriously. He's going to walk out of that, and if the U.S. military does not have recruiters sitting in every movie theater that this is playing in, they have failed. That is going to be the biggest failing of this movie, is if there are not recruiters in films. Like, you know, when there's a big comic book movie, the theater we go to, the local comic book shop sets up a booth in the theater, and you can buy, you know, like when Green Lantern was out, you could buy rings and graphic novels and action figures and T-shirts, all of Green Lantern. And they do this for every movie, every one of the comic book movies that come out. When Star Wars was here, there were some members of the local 501st where they're taking pictures. They need military recruiters in theater, I think. I think that's a good idea. You will probably have people walk out of there and sign up. It would not surprise me.
Get them before they have a chance to think about it.
Yep. And you know what?
Wait a minute. That movie didn't actually make any sense.
Oh. But they realize it now that they're in boot camp. They realize it on one of those 10-mile runs in boot camp. Oh, that would not have worked that way. I know that now that I'm actually in boot camp. So, those are the new movies that are coming out.
Yep.
And I can safely say it is not my turn to pick first.
Well, I gotta say, initially I was looking at this and I was thinking, you know, 3,000 theaters, just a ridiculously ubiquitous ad campaign. You can't avoid this movie if you wanted to. And so I initially put Act of Valor at number one. But I don't know. Because I think it's... I mean, I look at it, and when I see it, not being a 15-year-old boy, I immediately think, that's going to be a terrible movie. That's going to be ridiculous action and military propaganda. And not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, as long as you recognize it for what it is. But right. Not something that appeals to me in the slightest. And I'm wondering how many other people out there are like me in that regard and see this and go, really? Exactly what benefit do we have by putting real Navy SEALs in there? You know, there's a reason why they're the Navy SEALs and the actors are the actors.
Yeah, it's all a big marketing ploy.
Yeah. It's like,
and you know what? This movie is going to do great in military theaters. You know what? Most military theaters don't get movies first run. They get movies at about the same pace as like your dollar theaters do. I used to live on a military base. We got movies a couple of months after they were in real theaters.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to have to go, and you know, HSX has this scoring less than Good Deeds, and I went back and I looked through looking back through Tyler Perry's previous movies, and even Box Office Mojo thinks that Act of Valor will at best pull in $20 million. Mm-hmm. They're projecting it for 20. They're also just projecting Good Deeds for 19. So I think they're underestimating Good Deeds, because that seems to be, you know, Tyler Perry's MO. So I've decided to put Tyler Perry's Good Deeds at number one, figuring it'll pull about 25. And if Act of Valor pulls its expected 20, I figure that should place it at number two. And then I'm going to also disagree with Box Office Mojo, and I'm going to put Safe House at number 3 and Journey 2 at number 4. They've got those flip-flopped, and I'm figuring that if, I don't know, it's, I tried to do maths, and that might be bad, but I, according to my numbers, if they drop at about the same rate they did last week, it's going to be real close, but it looked to me anyway like Safe House would probably come out just slightly ahead, so I'm going to do that. And then at number 5, I put The Vow. I don't particularly see any reason to put Wanderlust or Gone on my list at all. Maybe Wanderlust could pull number 5, but I just don't care enough. I would rather leave it off and have it pull, show up at number 5 than put it on and have it show up at, you know, number 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so insert Andrew's voicemail here.
Hello, backseat. This is Andrew from the podcast. I'm calling my picks because I'm afraid I was unable to make the recording this week. I'm sure much was said about it, or nothing at all. That'd be their type of move. But here are my picks for the week. At number 1, Act of Valor. Number 2, Good Deeds. I mean, Tyler Perry, it's gonna make some money. I think Act of Valor can barely smidge it out, just a little bit. It could easily be SFL, though. Number 3, I'm going to put The Safe House. Number 4, The Vow. And at number 5, I stared at Wanderlust for a while, but then decided to put Journey 2 in because, hey, kids movie. So for clarity, number 1, Act of Valor. Number 2, Good Deeds. Number 3, Safe House. Number 4, The Vow. Number 5, Journey 2. Tad, buddy, I'm about to go take my Axis and Allies turn, and all I gotta say to you is, come at me, brah. Come at me. See you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, go figure. I have looked at my original listing and changed it a couple of times. I'm pretty confident in Good Deeds being number 1. For most of the reasons we've talked about earlier, mm-hmm. Tyler Perry's wheelhouse of about $25 million. I think this one might make a little bit less than that, but I think it's still going to be above Act of Valor. I have a feeling that Act of Valor could come out strong, but then slip through the course of the weekend as word of mouth gets out about it. I think the people that want to go see it are going to go see it, like the, like I said, the 15-year-old boy crowd, the 15 to 19-year-old boys who have decided that, you know, they want a good excuse to go into the military, and this could be the good excuse that pushes them over the edge on that. The Safe House Journey 2 question is a good question. At this point, because so Safe House dropped 40%, 41%. Journey 2 dropped about 27%. Figuring they're not going to drop at quite the same pace, they're probably going to drop a little more steeply. So I made the guesstimation that Safe House will drop about 50% and Journey 2 will drop about 35%. If that happens, Journey 2 beat Safe House by about $1 million. And so I am going to go with Journey 2 at number 3 and Safe House at number 4. The other close race for me really is Wanderlust versus The Vow. And I think this could honestly go either way. I think these movies are going to finish ridiculously close to each other. But that said, I'm going to give the upper hand to Wanderlust on this one. I just think it has a better chance because it's a new movie. I think The Vow could slip, being that it's been on a little while now. This will be what, its third week. It's third weekend. So yeah, I'm gonna give Wanderlust the fifth place spot over The Vow.
Cool.
that
yeah, I
said,
can't really, I can't fully, really argue with any of those. Yeah, I mean,
I fully expect another 15 this week. you know, it, after last weekend's drubbing, who knows anymore?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to call us fools come Saturday.
Well, it is relativity, so that's a crapshoot in and of itself.
Exactly. Yeah, they don't tend to worry so much about quality as just getting the movie out there in front of as many eyeballs as they can.
Yeah. Sometimes that works, and sometimes not so much.
If they can throw a movie out there and see any kind of ROI on it, they tend to be cool with that, just from the look of
true.
It. They appear to be the Uwe Boll of production companies.
Well, no, because Uwe Boll was actively trying to not see any sort of return on his investment.
But that gave him a profit in the end.
Well, yeah, because only via
stupid
tax laws.
Yeah.
Relativity looks to actually want to make money off of their product.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, if this movie is, if this new Act of Valor movie is done right, they could have lightning in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be something amazing. But I gotta be honest, looking at the footage of it, it looks like it's a cross between a military documentary and something you'd see on the Discovery/History/Nat Geo/Military Channel, flipping through channels on a Sunday afternoon. It just doesn't, I don't know, it just doesn't seem that entertaining.
Yeah.
It just looks a little more informative. But I guess, you know, they are pitching it as fiction. This is not, these aren't the real people. These are real Navy SEALs.
But that's the only thing I've seen.
Playing actors on movies.
That's the only thing I've seen is the only movie that's ever featured the real Navy SEALs and then them jumping out of a plane.
Yeah.
You know, like that's been my entire exposure to this movie is the Navy SEALs. They climb through the swamp and jump out of a plane.
You know, I would totally see this movie if it was called Goddamn American Jedi. Totally. I would be down for that. By the snakes on a plane rule. You know, don't take yourself seriously and just have fun with it. Yeah, so BD in the chat room is asking, is the relativity opening the reason there's no Andrew, so we don't know how to pick? And yes. Lena says, looks more like a recruitment film to me. Agreed. You know, I don't have anything else.
No, and I should probably go to bed fairly soon, so we'll give Lena a chance to give us picks if she wants, but other than that.
Yeah. Now, BD makes a great point that Top Gun was an excellent recruitment film. It was, and you know what? They made it with actors, not with real Navy SEALs. I don't understand what the appeal of that is going to be.
Yeah.
Unless these people are real Navy SEALs who happen to also have acting talent.
Yeah.
And really, there's no way of knowing that until you actually sit down in front of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not paying money for that gamble. I'm going to be honest. If somebody wants to send me a screener copy, I will watch it and I will tell you. But I'm not forking out the cash for it.
Yeah.
All right. Last chance. Lena, BD, anyone bold enough to give their picks at this point?
Calling you out.
Here we go. Looks like BD's going to give some picks. And I quote, "Aw, hell. Okay."
We don't mind if you misspell them, BD.
No, just get it out there. We'll make fun of you either way. Guessing. You're welcome to make some guesstimations there yourself, Lana. Don't think we haven't forgotten about you. All right, BD's picks are in. Number one, Act of Valor. Number two, Good Deeds. Three, Wanderlust. 4, Journey 2, and 5, Safe House. Interesting set of picks. And very much contrary to what my picks were.
That's gutsy on Wanderlust there.
It's gutsy, but...
Not as gutsy, you know, as it could be, but...
Again, I mean, the way I'm guesstimating these totals, it could only be $1 million swing between the three movies.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
$1 to $2 million swing.
If it was two or one or two, I guess that would be gutsier.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, put Wanderlust at number 2, and we'll say you've got big balls. down at 3 or 4, I think, is a much safer play.
This is true.
Low theater count plus good reviews plus lots of ads equals Wanderlust at 3. That's fair. And yeah, fair 3 enough. Is as high as you should go. I honestly have seen a lot of ads for this on television. It's getting a lot of ad play in your typical primetime comedy type shows.
Gotcha. See, and I don't have TV.
Right. So. Right. All right. Unless Lena's gonna give us our picks.
She's been awfully quiet.
Very quiet. She could be making
picks. She did say she basically intimated that she got 1 through 4 figured out.
That's true.
And come on, Lena, if you give us your picks now, I don't have to change the show notes that much. Really, more, I don't have to add you back in next week if you give your picks then.
Oh, she just tweeted her picks. Oh, look out. Pull up the Twitters. All right, here we go. Number 1, Good Deeds. Number 2, Act of Valor. Number 3, Safe House. Number 4, Journey 2. And number 5, Wanderlust.
So almost me, but with Wanderlust instead of the vow.
And almost me, except... flip-flopping Journey 2 and Safe House.
Gotcha. All right. Awesome.
And my phone going off just now, that was the tweet to at Better in the Back, which is the Twitter account for backseat producers and all things in the backseat, because it really is better in the back. Seat.
And on that note...
You know, we haven't mentioned in a while. Don't forget, if you're listening and not playing along, what's wrong with you? Because you know what? It's clear that none of us know what we're doing. Yeah. So don't feel
bad. It's not like we have some sort of...
And you know what? The more people there are, the more lost in the crowd you'll be. So encourage your friends to join as well. It's very easy. You can go to the website and make your comments. You can send an email, tony@backseatproducers.com. You can send a voicemail. You can record an MP3 file and send it in. You can go to the website. On the left-hand side, there's this Call Me button. You can click that, put in your phone number, and we'll call you to get your picks. So you can make your phone call from a nice landline with a nice clear connection, and you don't even have to pay the long distance. If you want to call directly, though, if you got it, your cell phone, grab it now. The number is 618-207-4794. Go ahead and just put that on your speed dial. It makes it so much easier. When you're just, you know, you're driving, you're thinking, what's coming out this weekend? How is it going to do in the box office? I'm stuck in traffic. I've got nothing better to do. Let me call and get my picks. Because I know a lot of people think that way.
And let's face it, calls. You can't do worse than William.
That's true. At least not on a consistent basis.
True.
Sometimes people do worse than William, but not consistently.
Yeah. William's doing a fantastic job.
William's doing a great job
anchoring. He's a host for the list. He anchors us.
Clearly, he is the strongest member in the group of people who are participating, because he's holding the whole rest of the leaderboard above his head. On his back, he carries us all, and hosts the results show. What are you doing? You're just listening. You're not even participating. Come on. I'm trying guilt. Is it working? Okay, I think I'm done. There's a lot of easy ways. You can tweet them. You can leave a comment. You can email. You can voicemail. And hopefully in the next couple of months before, as we prepare for the new season, we're going to roll out a new way of giving your picks. Smoke signals. That's not true. I am working on an application that you can put in your picks. You log into the application. You can make your picks via drop-downs. It give you a list of the top 10 movies that were last week, plus any of the new movies that are coming out this weekend. Makes it real simple for you. You don't even need to remember what's coming out. It'll all be right there. You make the picks, and then all the scoring will take place automatically. It's going to be fantastic when I get it done. If anybody can program it in PHP, give me a call. I might have some project work for you as an intern. And with that, thank you, Jonathan, for actually showing up where Andrew did not.
Well, I am not afraid of relativity. So. Mm.
You are not afraid of real Navy SEALs.
That either.
Maybe a little bit afraid.
Well, kind of depends on what they're, you know.
If they kick in my door and point a gun at my face, I would probably be very afraid of them. I would probably pee myself a little bit.
Yeah, the poo might come out a little bit.
All right. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Get out there and see some flicks. And if you do, let Scott know. He's doing Backseat Quickies. He would love if you left him a little comment. You can call it into the same voicemail number. I'll make sure that Scott gets it. You could be a host on Backseat Quickies. It could happen. All right, with that...
I keep meaning to do that.
Yeah, I know. I might not do that. Yeah. Though, you know what? One of the cool things is I did just get a screener copy of a movie that I told the people that I would give a review to the screener copy of a movie, and I was like, yeah, but I hate writing reviews. I like talking. I like hearing the sound of my own voice. But there's no way I could get everybody else to do it for Backseat Producers. I just realized I could do a quickie.
This is true.
And considering some of the subject matter of this movie, being a Backseat Quickie would be very appropriate. I will leave it at that. It's a mystery until the movie comes out. See ya.
See ya.